I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Linda Tesche, founder and chief empowerment officer of Linda Tesche Global. This new organization draws on her 20 years of experience to offer nonprofit mentorship and an autism concierge service. Linda, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome, Heather. Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is Linda Tesche Global?
So Linda Tesche Global is a culmination of really my past 20 years of experience in the autism world as a parent advocate, and then also that turned into my nonprofit work. So the last 20 years, I've worked on policy. You know, I changed a lot of families' lives, and I built two amazing nonprofits. And now I'm thinking, you know, at this stage of my life, I was blessed to do that. But now it's time to even help more people, more families, more nonprofits, and really elevate them, you know, in our community, just to make sure that everybody has the best quality of life possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, of course, some of the nonprofits that you've founded that people would be aware of include Grant a Gift and the Collaboration Center Foundation. How does this new organization compare to those?
Yeah, so those nonprofits, first of all, Grant a Gift Autism Foundation was named in honor of my son. I started that in 2009. Basically, those programs grew with Grant, you know, what he needed at the time. So there's a lot of clinical-based, you know, resources under that umbrella for the Grant a Gift Autism Foundation and the Ackerman Center. So, you know, it's really focusing on clinical-based, you know, family services, navigation, but then collaboration. Collaboration Center had different types of programs in collaboration with other organizations on the campus. So basically, as Grant was growing up, and then I transitioned out of Grant to Gift and I was consulting, I realized there were some other things that Grant needed and other families as our kids are growing up. So Collaboration Center had expanded on what I wasn't able to do at Grant a Gift, like, you know, recreation, a tortoise habitat. It's a 5-acre campus. They have different types of support groups. They have, you know, a Medicaid office. They also have a preschool. So basically, it was just filling in gaps that I wasn't able to do with that. So now with Linda Tesche Global, I'm actually not physically a nonprofit, but I'm here to help fill in more gaps. And the reason I called it global is because autism's global. Nonprofit work is global. So I am wanting to also help others outside of the state of Nevada as well, so that we can just, you know, lift everybody up. So it's just actually helping families and organizations. I guess I'm a free agent, I guess you can say. I can, you know, do what I need to do when I need to do it, and really still help, though, those organizations that I built as well.
Okay. So in what ways will Linda Tesche Global support nonprofits that are seeking greater impact?
That's a great question. You know, the two passions that I have in my life and that I consider myself and others consider me an expert is in nonprofits. So that's the first track, right? Is that I've done two very successful nonprofits from basically startup to sustainability. So I really have these years of experience to give to nonprofits of any age, whether they're a startup or they're looking to take their nonprofit to the next level, or let's say they want to work on their board governance. You know, every area I've led for two different successful organizations. So my goal is to come alongside of a nonprofit. It doesn't matter what stage you are in your journey. I can come alongside you. I can assess what your needs are, and then really help you become sustainable, help with fundraising, help with, you know, event planning and anything, board governance, and then most of all, strategic planning. So really to take my knowledge, condense it down and say, look, if you start off on the right foot, you'll get there faster and you won't have to, you know, step on any landmines that I've stepped on before. So the other side of that is the autism side, which, you know, I live every day. Grant lives with me. Grant's 24 years old now. He was 8 years old when I started Grant a Gift. And he's doing amazing, Heather, but he still needs supports. It's a life journey with families, regardless of what level of autism they have. So I know that there's still a lot of families that need even more resources than they're able to access in these nonprofit organizations. And then I can also work alongside when I come across people or people call me. So I get calls almost every week of people I've known for years that say, I think my grandson has autism or my son just got diagnosed. And so I can say, okay, let's see what I can do for you personally as a parent and also with my experience to help plan your life journey. But then how do we plug you into the organizations that I've created? And then there's other autism resources in the community. So really understanding on a personal level, what they're going through, what individualized needs do they have, and then how do I help them find it?
So basically, you're helping organizations through the nonprofit mentorship program, and then you're helping individuals through the Autism Concierge Service?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And in addition to the Autism Concierge, you know, there might be families that aren't a good fit for that for whatever reason. So if not, what we're offering is a free monthly office hours webinar series. So we have right now, Linda Tesche Global has a very, very detailed survey with all different topics that any family or individual would ever need in relation to autism. And we're taking the survey because we're going to start prioritizing what topics should we start with in October. So we'll do a monthly webinar. It's free for anybody. And we'll have experts come in, talk on different subjects, and then we'll archive it so that families, again, have those resources. And at the end, you know, we would say, you know, if you are interested, we can talk further about the concierge program. If you're not interested, these are resources in the community that you can access to get what you need.
Okay. So besides that free monthly webinar series, if individuals want to go further, what types of services and resources will you be offering through the Autism Concierge Service?
Sure, sure. So again, mentioning that it's a life journey, and I'm seeing this with my 24-year-old, there's a lot of families, Heather, that really are concerned about what's going to happen when they're not here to take care of their adult children, right? So what I would do, regardless of what milestone or age range they're in, we would start there and say, okay, what are your needs going into, let's say it's a child in elementary school. So we would say, okay, do you have an IEP, which is an individual education plan? If you do, do you need support with that? Then I know resources in the community that can help them with advocating for education. Then it's like, okay, they're transitioning into teenage years, which that brings on a whole nother set of challenges, right? Mm-hmm. So what can we anticipate? What have I seen that you guys may run into? So setting up that pathway for them, because then if they need guardianship, if they're thinking about having guardianship over their child, they have to start before they're 18 years old, because if they don't, in which most families don't, they'll do it after the fact and they have to go through a whole different court system. And it's very, very time consuming and challenging. So really prepping these families through each phase of life. The other thing is, do they need to be on Medicaid? If so, you need to start that process before they're 18. Do they need to have Social Security disability? Then you need to start that process right as they're turning 18. And again, a lot of families are just trying to survive. They're behind the eight ball. The other very critical, critical thing is healthcare transition. A lot of pediatricians will not see any children after they turn 18, which really they're not supposed to. But if they have a disability, the children or young adults do, they're allowed to see them for a certain amount of time. But this happened with me is that when Grant turned 18, the pediatrician said, sorry, can't see you anymore. We can't refill the medications. I was like freaking out because he was working. It would affect him. And I'm thinking, if this is happening to me, you know, what's happening to other families? And, you know, it took me some time to figure out what we're going to do with Grant, because a lot of adult medical doctors, you know, aren't used to working with our children. So there's so many things that need to be mapped out that's what we would do. If they need a special needs trust, I know attorneys that can do that. If they need an attorney to help with a Social Security income, I know attorneys that can do that. So really building a team, being part of a team that's going to surround this family and really have the best plan and path in place all the way through documentation storage and organization, and then who is going to be involved in that person's life after the parents are gone.
Now, a lot of those bits and pieces already exist, but what do you think are the biggest holes right now in autism services that you're hoping to fill through Linda Teshe Global?
You know, with all of these things that I mentioned, you know, there are organizations doing bits and pieces of it. There's really not one entity or organization that is doing the whole package. So that's the first and foremost, is that that's what I'm looking to help people do. I'm not going to be providing services per se, except for that planning service and then the webinars. But then I'm going to be getting our partners, the community partners that are already doing, you know, certain services, and plug these families into that. Also, I am the concierge person that if the family isn't getting what they need, I can pick up the phone and make calls. I can help them, you know, navigate certain things. So trying to fill in these gaps of families falling through the cracks. And that's still happening, you know, every day. The other piece, Heather, that I work on still since 2007 is the policy piece. So with all of the information that Linda Teshe Global will gather from the families that we are connecting with, we're going to be able to collect data that we can give to the Autism Treatment Assistance Program, or, you know, working with Grant to Gift. And, you know, we want to make sure that we know what the needs are. We definitely know that adult services is a gap, workforce development gap. So helping to work with these organizations and the community as a personal mom, and then also, you know, an advocate, and then helping them, you know, legislatively get that part done as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this sounds like some really exciting developments that you've got going on. So where can people find out more information about Linda Teshe Global, including your nonprofit mentorship and Autism Concierge Service?
Yes, thank you for asking. So it's pretty simple. Anyone could go to lindatesheglobal.com. My name is Linda with a Y, so it's LyndaTasheglobal.com. global.com. All the services are listed on there. And then there's a contact form called Let's Talk, and they can fill that form out. And then somebody from our team will reach out to you to get them connected, hold your hand, and help you, you know, get what you need through community resources.
All right. That's fantastic. So once again, the website for Linda Teshe Global is lindatesheglobal.com. That's Linda with a Y, L-Y-N-D-A, Tashe, T-A-C-H-E, lindatesheglobal.com. And you can find out all about Linda's new organization, Linda Teshe Global, including nonprofit mentorship services and the Autism Concierge Service. And we've been speaking today with Linda Teshe, founder and chief empowerment officer of Linda Teshe Global. And Linda, I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us this new organization that you're getting underway. It sounds really exciting, a lot of services and just connecting those pieces for people. It sounds like you're going to do a lot of great work in the community. So thank you so much for sharing today.
My pleasure, Heather. Thank you as well.
We are the 25%. That's a quarter of all Americans, over 61 million people with a disability. And we want a world where everyone is 100% included, just like you. Easter Seals Disability Services. We are the 25.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Steve Evans, Chief Medical Officer for Silver Summit Health Plan. With the new school year underway and fall sports around the corner, it's important to build healthy routines at home and take care of those crucial appointments like sports physicals. Dr. Evans, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you very much, Heather, for having me.
So what are some healthy routines that parents can build at home?
Well, sleep is incredibly important. Poor sleep definitely leads to poor outcomes in the classroom. And it's also related to higher risk for other medical problems like obesity, diabetes, and mental health issues too. Kids need at least 8 to 12 hours per night, and you should start adjusting about 2 weeks before school starts. Good habits include no screen time from an hour before bedtime. That includes cell phones, television, and computers. Those have all been absolutely correlated with poor sleep.
Okay, now it's one thing to know that our kids should be getting that much sleep, but it's another thing to actually make it happen. So how can we reinforce those sleep schedules?
Well, the biggest thing is consistency. So if a child knows that their cell phone or their tablet or their computer gets turned off at a certain time and they know that they have a bedtime, the best way to make sure that that happens over and over is to be consistent and not to allow the child to not do what the schedule is meant to be.
Yeah, for sure. Now, kids usually can find creative ways to get access to that screen even when we think they're not using it. So what do you recommend for setting those screen time boundaries and making them stick?
Well, I mean, one thing that I've done with my children is that we have set these rules. We've had them since, you know, they were much younger. I set up their phone so that they're not able to access it, you know, during those times. I don't take away their phone at night because it's, you know, too hard to remember sometimes, but their phones are set up so that they cannot access during, you know, the sleep time. And like I said before, I actually do it an hour before bedtime. So for example, if their bedtime is 9 o'clock, then I set that for 8 o'clock.
Okay. And what's the importance of making sure that screens aren't being used a certain time before people go to bed?
Well, not only are screens and phones and computers addictive and leads to all kinds of other behavioral problems, but actually the blue screen on a computer has been shown to interfere with sleep cycles. And some cell phones have shown the same thing. So it's actually a physiologic problem when the kids are using their phones right before bed. In addition, you know, if you're trying to get them calmed down to go to sleep, playing an invigorating game of Roblox right before they go to sleep is not a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. Now, during the day, there's some other things, of course, that we can do. What are the keys to providing balanced lunches for the kids when they go off to school?
Well, really, you're not going to get kids to eat a perfectly healthy diet for the most part. It's all about balance, and it's all about making sure that fat is at least controlled, sugar is controlled, and the kids get lots of protein and fiber. And so that means that in each meal, there should be some sort of a fiber-containing vegetable or fruit. And that is one of the best ways. And then, again, kids are not going to usually put up with, like, no candy or no sweets. But if you set ground rules that, you know, there's a certain amount that you can have each day, then you are the one that is controlling the amount that they get. And, you know, frankly, the less sugar, candy that they eat, the better. But they are going to have some.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of hygiene habits are important for kids?
So reminding your kids at back to school time of the importance of frequent hand washing, covering their coughs and sneezes is a really good practice. There's actually been studies that have shown that kids who are taught this by their parents have a lower incidence overall of colds, strep throat, COVID, flu, all the different things that kids get.
Okay. Now, we've mostly been talking about physical health, but how can we check in on emotional wellness with our kids?
Well, from coming back from summer break, figuring out a new school or grade or starting a school for the first time, even for the little ones, this time of year is very stressful. I was surprised when I was researching for, you know, this interview, 21% of adolescents experience anxiety on a regular basis. And this time of year, back to school can make things worse. Anxiety can be good to a certain point. Understanding healthy anxiety, like staying on top of schoolwork so you don't do poorly on a test, is good anxiety. But you have to understand the difference between that and unhealthy anxiety. And parents can play a real role in that. When a child is exhibiting behavior that shows that their anxiety is interfering with their activities that they're trying to accomplish, that's unhealthy anxiety. And that's time to probably get some help from a professional. Depression also affects a great number of school-aged children. It's about 16% of school-aged children have depression. And in half of these, it's considered severe depression, such that they would benefit from being on medication or having other sort of therapy. But unfortunately, only about 60% of kids who have depression are brought in by their parents to receive treatment. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that sometimes parents don't think that kids can get actual depression, but they can. And in fact, the suicide rate among school-aged children is much higher than we'd like to see.
Wow. Okay. What would be some of the signs that we should look for to know whether our kids are depressed or too anxious?
So for depression, it's really withdrawing from you and from their friends, spending a lot of time alone in their room. And then just things you would normally think of with depression, if you find them crying for no reason, or if you find that they're acting out. So depression, a sign of that can be that they all of a sudden get angry for no reason. Anxiety is a little bit more difficult, but anxiety in a child is kind of similar to anxiety in an adult. You know, the kids start to not eat as much. They start to, again, act out. They could lash out, and they're just less like themselves. They don't behave as well as they used to.
Wow. Okay. Now, for the kids who are into athletics, what should parents and students know about sports physicals?
So the beginning of school year is when I've always done my yearly physical. I think yearly physicals are important for pediatric members. And it's a good idea. What I've always done with my three teenage daughters is combine the yearly physical with the sports physical. And for most sports in Clark County that are done through the schools, a sports physical is required, and it's a good thing. It's a time that your child can be assessed for things like coordination, flexibility, heart, lung function, height, weight, blood pressure, all the things that you would normally expect a doctor to be following. You'll get that during the sports physical typically. Importantly, cardiac arrests are a risk when playing sports. And recent cardiac arrests among prominent, seemingly healthy athletes like Damar Hamlin and Bronny James highlights the importance of these physicals. Interestingly, cardiac arrests are much more common in school-aged children than professional athletes. We just hear about the athletes that have the problems like that. But during a sports physical, the doctor will review the medical history and then do the physical exam, looking for all those things that I talked about.
Okay. What would be a sign of potential cardiac arrest that the doctor would look for when doing these sports physicals?
Well, they're looking for a risk of cardiac arrest. So there are certain heart conditions that can lead to cardiac arrests, especially when playing sports. And those are picked up pretty uniformly by listening to the heart. So there's a particular heart murmur that you could hear that is associated with a condition that can lead to cardiac arrest. And so it's incredibly important that anyone who's about to play sports, especially school-aged children, are screened for that.
Okay. Where can listeners go to learn more about healthy routines and practices for back to school, but also all year round?
Yes. If they just go to silversummithealthplan.com, we have many links on ways to get back to school with as little stress as possible.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, Silver Summit Health Plan is the website to go to for Silver Summit Health Plan. You can find information there, educational articles, plenty of links, silversummithealthplan.com. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Steve Evans, Chief Medical Officer for Silver Summit Health Plan. And Dr. Evans, I really appreciate you being here. You've shared some great tips and some things to look out for, some healthy ways that we can set up our kids for success, starting at home and, of course, going throughout the school year. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you for having me on.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the NIAA and the Nevada Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Shalina Trimble, Partner Relations Coordinator at All Life Pregnancy Clinic. The organization's 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K is coming up in October. Shalina, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Heather. It's amazing to be with you this afternoon.
So what exactly is All Life Pregnancy Clinic?
Oh, thank you so much for asking that. So All Life Pregnancy Clinic is a nonprofit organization that, as you mentioned, we're so excited to be celebrating 40 years of serving the Southern Nevada community. We have a really cool vision where we envision a future where all pregnant women know they are loved, cherished, and provided all the resources they need to see their families thrive. So when they come see us, our goal is to provide hope, stability, you know, by offering that compassionate care. We want to serve as an ally for life and be available to them.
Okay. And within that, what are some of the specific services that you offer them?
Oh, yes. So we do a myriad of services. We focus in on providing quality services such as casework to help identify the patient's needs when they first come see us. Oftentimes that would be a pregnancy test service, or they might be seeking an ultrasound for a confirmation of pregnancy. So we work with them in providing support to create a comprehensive care plan to support their journey, giving them resources as needed to focus on those things on their care plan. We also offer fatherhood mentoring to empower her partner. We look into offering parenting and education classes to encourage them, ensuring, again, they have successful legacy as a family. One of the really neat things that makes us stand out as an organization, not only here in Las Vegas, but especially in Nevada, is that we are one of the only locations that offer completely free of charge medical prenatal care, which is a huge lift of a burden off of a patient who might be, you know, facing an unexpected pregnancy.
Yeah, definitely. What are the criteria to take advantage of those services?
Well, we are here to serve the community, so we do not bill any health insurance. We do not receive any government funding. So we are here to anybody here in the Las Vegas community that's in need of our services. Honestly, we not only see local women, we see women that may be here on vacation. We see women from international locations. So all it takes is for you to reach out to us and request the services, and we bring you in so that we can walk alongside you and support you best way possible.
Okay. How is it that you're able to offer those services free of charge?
So we are 100% donor funded. We have a lot of local community organizations that serve in partnership with us. Certainly a lot of our local churches, just community-based organizations that want to also support ensuring women have access to quality health care. So we do have events like our Race for Life that we're coming up with on October 11th. That's one really huge fundraiser that's a great way of helping us to fund all of the services that we do and cover all of our operating costs. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary in the capacity of our fundraising gala back in April. And so that is another opportunity where our supporters come out. We're able to engage new supporters, donors, community organizations, and church partners alike that help us out and ensure that we're able to offer these quality levels of services at no charge to our patients.
Nice. Okay. So over that 40 years, how many babies and families have you positively impacted through your work?
Oh, it's so exciting about that question. You know, we're so excited to the fact that we get to say that we've helped to save and bring into the world 57,000 lives of babies over the past 40 years and counting, as we have many babies being born this year through our prenatal care program. But it's pretty neat to know that we've been able to have a hand in, you know, creating new generations of families and legacies and being support to moms and dads and their children and the like.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So tell us about your 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K that you've got coming up.
We are looking forward to this. So we call it, although it is the Race for Life 5K 1 mile event, we're looking at this as a movement. So we're excited to engage the community with us and invite families and running clubs and folks that love to walk just for, you know, supporting a great cause, as well as people who are avid runners from running clubs. So we're looking to invite our entire Las Vegas community just to come out and join us for a powerful day where runners, walkers, community champions can come together to help us and fuel real change by helping to fund motherhood.
When and where is it happening?
Okay, so it's going to be happening on Saturday, October 11th at the Cornerstone Park in Henderson, located at 1600 Wigwam Parkway. And the event itself is going to run from, we're inviting people to come around 7:30 a.m., so you're totally welcome to meet us there. But the event should run from 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. We've got some exciting things that you can expect on event day, including fun games, activities such as face painting. We're going to offer chair massages and so much more. We cannot wait to see the community there.
So what are some of the different booths and activities that people can expect if they come down that day?
So, you know, as we know, when people come out for an event such as, right, a walk or a race, and we're hoping it's going to be a great weather day, although we love our Las Vegas sunshine, right? But we're excited to, you know, have people to, we have avid runners, so we will actually be offering a timed participation for those that register as runners, so they can either beat an existing time they have, or they can create a new time if they're a brand new, you know, runner that is wanting to challenge themselves physically. And then after the fact, well, during the event also, we'll have like music, we'll have vendors that will be just sharing about different businesses or, you know, ways that also support quality access to healthcare for our moms and just folks that like to come alongside us partnership. And we're looking forward to it as a family event. It always has been that, but adding the levels of face painting, you know, keeps the kiddos excited and having fun, because after the event, you want to continue to engage your participants. And so we're excited about the chair massages. What's better than a massage right after you participated in a walk, right?
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
We're looking forward to that. We're going to have food, you know, we'll have snacks and just have an all around great time. We're excited to hopefully incorporate some games that, you know, we can play as families, as teams, and just create engagement, create, you know, an opportunity to have fun, get to know each other. And, oh, I can't forget that we're going to have a really cool leading warm up before we start the event, because we got to have all the, get all those muscles warmed up, loosen everything up so you can hit your best time as you participate in the event for Race for Life.
Nice. So if they run, it's a 5K. And if they choose to walk, it's 1 mile.
That is right. So we have multiple categories. I mentioned the friendly competition earlier. So we're going to have prizes for our top youth fundraising group, as well as our top adult group fundraiser, and to the highest fundraiser in the individual category. We are ecstatic about having some really cool prize packages for all of our age groups, including the Las Vegas Aviators, a four-person ticket package, a staycation at Sahara Las Vegas Hotel, an Area 15 experience package, and a chicken and pickle dine and play package for four, just to name a few. So we hope that you guys come out and join us for a fun-filled time with your family and your friends, and enjoy serving and participating for an amazing cause here in our city.
Okay, and how does the fundraising work for this event?
Okay, so with the fundraising part of it, there's multiple ways that our participant can help out. What it is it actually is also part of as a peer-to-peer fundraising piece of it. So the way people can register, we offer multiple ways to do that. Sometimes you can do it on a basis of registering through our website, which I've got a couple of ways. So we want to keep it easy for all of our participants to access and be a part of this. So they can access this via our link on our events page of our website at alllife.org, which is spelled ALLYFE.org. So we also have our links on our social media pages. We have our Instagram. So if you look us up at All Life Pregnancy Clinic, again, you'll spell that ALLYFE. So we'll have a link right at the top of the page, and it'll be posted right there below it so you can access the registration information. You can also visit our Facebook page, and it's posted as the first post. So we'll have that accessible for everyone to see it at the top of the page. So when it comes to the breakdown of how you can do this, as a walker, you can go ahead and register for free. A really fun bonus is that if you raise $50, whether you sign up as an individual or if you sign up as a team, then when you raise $50, you'll earn a free t-shirt as a, you know, memorabilia for the event. And then for those that want to participate as a race participant, there is a small $50 fee up front just to register for that. But you get an amazing package with that. It gives you like a workout plan. You get your t-shirt, you get some swag as a part of signing up for it. Plus you have that process of being timed for the actual part of the event. And so with the fundraising piece of it, we like to make it fun. We try to make it also competitive, right? So we encourage people to sign up either on an individual basis where they want to do just a peer-to-peer fundraising, or I like to do it as a team captain every year. This is one of my favorite events that we have every year. So I'll typically sign up as team captain. I will invite my friends, my network, my colleagues, and they don't only have to live in Las Vegas. You can encourage people who live across the country, even out of the country, to participate with you if they're willing to help with you with fundraising the dollars. So we have simple ways of sharing, creative ways you can do it are either via text, you can email your friends and network, or you can even share it on your social media pages as a way to get everyone's attention and to invite them to participate with you.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're so excited about it.
Yeah, it's fun fundraising.
Absolutely. It's fun fundraising. It's a fun time and it's just an enjoyable, family event. Who doesn't love a good time on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, for sure. And what exactly do the funds raised go to support?
Okay, so the money that we'll be raising funds for will be going towards all of our operating costs. So it's really beautiful because all the partnerships, whether they're our donors, whether they're sponsors for the event, or our race participants, walkers and runners, all dollars that are raised cycle right back into our organization to help us to provide the free services that we offer, such as those free clinical ultrasounds, the casework and pregnancy testing services, the free medical prenatal care, which is huge, our fatherhood mentoring program. We also have some really awesome online classes that our patients can take for educational purposes that help prepare them for their pregnancy journey, help them to prepare for their newborn's arrival, labor delivery. We offer classes about financial literacy, classes to support our dads. We have an amazing boutique that's available to our mommies and daddies that they're able to shop through the baby's first 3 years of life, and they're able to get all the essentials, such as, and when I mean shop, they just use their baby bucks that they earn by taking their education classes. So everything still remains free. We just like to empower them, to continue to journey for their parenthood journey all the way through. But they're able to use those points to purchase diapers, wipes, formula every month. They're able to access books and toys for development, sensory. And then they're also accessible to every 3 months as babies growing and developing, they can actually go ahead and shop for their clothing package, which includes all the essentials that moms and dads need, such as onesies, bibs, socks, hats, blankets, bottles, nursing materials for breastfeeding, you name it. All these things are completely free to all of our patients by the support we receive through the Race for Life fundraising.
That's awesome. All right, so you did give the details and the website, but one more time, where and when is the Race for Life happening, and what's the website where people can go for more information or to sign up?
So our 40th anniversary Race for Life event will be held this year at Cornerstone Park in Henderson, Nevada, which is located at 1600 Wigwam Parkway. On October 11th, we're inviting everyone to join us there at 7:30. The event runtime will be from 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. We have multiple ways that our participants can find us and sign up to register for the event. You can start off by visiting us on our events page of our website at alllife.org. That's ALLYFE.org. You can also visit our social media pages. Visit us on Instagram at All Life Pregnancy Clinic, or you can even find us on Facebook as well at All Life Pregnancy Clinic.
All right, awesome. So once again, alllife.org is the website. That's ALLYFE. You can find out more about All Life Pregnancy Clinic, the work that they do in our community. If you're in need of services, you can reach out there. Everything is free. And if you'd like to take part in the Race for Life 5K, which is the 40th anniversary version, that's happening on Saturday, October 11th from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway in Henderson. And you can sign up there on the website, alllife.org, ALLYFE.org, or find them on social media at All Life Pregnancy Clinic. And we've been speaking today with Shalina Trimble, Partner Relations Coordinator at All Life Pregnancy Clinic. And Shalina, I really appreciate you being here and letting everyone know more about what you do. 40 years you've been doing this, and this is the first I'm hearing about it, but some amazing work that you're doing in the community. And you've got the great Race for Life coming up, and I hope a lot of people want to take part and help in the fundraising. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Oh, Heather, thank you so much for having me. And it's a blast to share about this organization. I have such a heart for it. It's a really beautiful process that, we offer to our community where people can look for help and not have to worry about, the burden of cost or anything like that, and know that they're going to get compassionate, quality care. So I'm so grateful to be here with you today, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year.
Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jess Carbino, relationship and online dating expert. A new survey looks at how cleaning affects relationships, for better or worse, and Dr. Carbino is here to give us all the dirt. Dr. Carbino, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what are some of the key findings from this survey?
Well, we all think often of cleaning being something that's a chore or drudgery, but Seventh Generation, which many of us know is a bio-based cleaning product company, understood that, in fact, cleaning can bring people joy. And the survey, which was nationally representative of Americans, found that 85% of Americans believe that cleaning is an act of love.
Okay, that's interesting. In what way do they feel that?
Well, what's really interesting to think about is why cleaning is so important to us. Cleaning not just fosters an individual sense of harmony and control, but it also can really lead to collective harmony as a couple and as a family. So it's really interesting to see how people think about this. And in fact, 75% of Americans said that sharing chores was really much more romantic than receiving a gift.
Okay. So sharing chores, doing the work together, of course, that's always great. What about doing chores unprompted? How do they feel about that?
Well, doing chores unprompted is such a signal of respect for so many couples and shows your partner that you care about them in a meaningful way. And the survey found that actually 8 out of 10 individuals said that they believe that having a clean home signals how much that you respect your partner.
Okay. Why is cleaning a sign of respect?
Cleaning is a sign of respect for so many people because it's consistent with their love languages. We know that love languages are something that people are really caring about and thinking about today. And half of the individual survey said they believed that their love language is cleaning for 50% of them.
So do you think that would fit under the typical love language of acts of service, or does cleaning stand alone as its own love language?
Well, I believe it would fall under the idea of acts of service, but I think it would be interesting to explore more in depth what cleaning really represents for people, because I think it has its own individual qualities as it relates to harmony and control.
Okay. So if someone is in a relationship or starting to date, they should keep their home clean before inviting someone over?
Absolutely. It's really critical to think about how you are presenting yourself when dating. When you're dating, you want to make sure that you're obviously maintaining good hygiene and look presentable. And your home is a signal of how you lead your life in a really meaningful way. Are you somebody who's organized? Are you somebody who's clean? And having a clean home can really show a partner other qualities about you that are important when forming a more long-term relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So those are all the things that people like. What about some of the negative aspects, the biggest cleaning turnoffs or icks?
Of course. Well, the icks are really ubiquitous, but we know that messy dishes and dirty laundry can be top of the list for people. In fact, 1 in 3 individuals have actually broken up with their partner because of their messiness.
Okay. I mean, is that maybe a little extreme?
Well, I think the question really becomes, what does messiness signal? Is messiness a general trait that people think about being tied to organization, control, and all of the other qualities that are really important when trying to foster something more long-term?
Okay. So if we're trying to impress a romantic partner and the choices between getting some roses or taking them out to dinner or cleaning, which of those do you think makes the biggest impact?
I think that sharing chores certainly makes the biggest impact. We know that 75% of individual Americans say that sharing chores is more romantic than receiving a gift. So definitely put on your gloves, take out your products, and start cleaning.
Wow. Okay. This puts everything in a whole new light. So where can listeners go for more information?
Please go to 7thgeneration.com to learn more.
All right. Awesome. So seventhgeneration.com is the website for Seventh Generation, of course, the natural cleaning product company who commissioned this survey. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Jess Carbino, relationship and online dating expert. And Dr. Carbino, I really appreciate you being here. You know, these are aspects of relationships that most people don't really think about, often take for granted. So it's really great that you're here sharing what the real story is. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks to you, Heather.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Lindsay Brian Podvin, financial therapist at Cash App. As the school year gets into full swing, it's the perfect time to help our kids and teens build better money habits that will last well into the future. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, Heather, I'm so happy to be here.
So with families facing all these back-to-school expenses, what kind of money habits should we be talking about at home as a family?
I love the back-to-school time to start about different money habits because there are so many good teachable moments. Anytime you get that back-to-school supply list, that's an opportunity to talk to kids about the cost of things and about planning the differences between needs and between wants and addressing things like unexpected expenses like that pair of shoes that your kid grew out of much faster mm-hmm. than you anticipated. So there are lots of different things that we can start to plant the seeds of as back to school starts.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what exactly does financial literacy mean for kids and teens?
For kids and teens, it's not about talking to them about what their tax deductions are or about 401k planning. You really want to be talking to them about the things that matter to them and not just talking to them about the ins and outs of money, but giving them opportunities to practice financial management and have access to different financial tools. And of course, this is going to be different for younger children than for teenagers. For younger kids, you might do things like give them dollars and coins and help them with counting. And, you know, kids love to play pretend at that age. So playing things like grocery store or house and giving them opportunities to see how that works. And with older kids, you can help teach them how to budget, how to plan ahead, and thinking through how to save for things that matter to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all great lessons to learn. And, you know, it seems like financial literacy is starting to be talked about more in school. But I know when I was a kid, they didn't talk to us about that at school. So you really had to learn it at home.
And even in the places where it is taught at school, and, you know, it's so great when schools do introduce financial literacy, but, you know, a lesson at school, when I was in school, we got a week of financial literacy education, which was wonderful, but also it's hard to learn all of the lessons about money in, you know, a 45-minute lesson over 5 days. And one of my favorite things to invite parents to do that doesn't have to be intimidating to introduce financial literacy and reinforce it with their kids is to simply narrate the different things that they're doing when they go to the grocery store, pointing out the costs of things, when they are, you know, getting cash out of the ATM, talking about what that is all about. So just like you narrate to your kids when you're making dinner, you know, I'm seasoning the food now, now I'm heating it up. You can do the same thing with financial literacy. And that way, it doesn't have to be intimidating. And it can just be a part of other topics that you talk about at home.
Yeah, yeah, that's some great advice. Now, of course, when it comes to actually letting them have some of their own money, how can we balance that equation between giving teens some financial freedom, but also keeping it safe and structured so they learn those lessons the easy way, not the hard way?
Yeah, exactly. You want to give them enough freedom to learn and practice, right? But not so much that they crash and burn. Instead of giving them your credit card and ending up with a really awkward conversation because they didn't know how to manage it, a better starting point is to do something like set a weekly allowance for them based on different chores around the household and send it to them on Cash App so they can track their earnings and their spending. And you can have that conversation about the guidelines together. So saying something like, we will pay for the family car insurance, for example, but you're responsible for making sure that the gas tank is full. And that way they can make real choices while you are able to stay in the loop. And also you're not giving them so much leeway that they end up harming themselves financially.
Yeah, that's great. What are some tools and strategies that families can use to manage their spending together, especially now during, you know, back to school and other high cost seasons that we have coming up over the next few months?
Yeah, I love that you mentioned over the next few months, because it can feel like, oh my gosh, we're just dealing with back to school, but we do want to think ahead. So one thing when it comes to having open conversations as a family is inviting your kids into the conversation in a way, again, that is appropriate for their age. So if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, you can say to them, look, you know, in our family budget, we've got the money to pay for one extracurricular activity, but you're going to have to choose between whether or not you want to do theater, or whether or not you want to do basketball, and giving that child the choice and helps them understand that sometimes there are trade-offs, but it doesn't have to be, you know, all bad. And then when it comes to saving ahead for the future, what I love about Cash App Families is for 13 to 17 year olds, parents have to approve their account and supervise it, but you can show them how savings add up over time. You can help them set a goal, say for holiday gift giving, so that they can see what it's like to save a few dollars every week or every month and watch it add up over time. And again, it sets those money habits from the beginning of the school year by talking about things like, again, like theater versus basketball, but it also starts to build on those habits and say, see how when we save a little bit of money over time, how those things can add up. And then it helps to prevent those somewhat planned expenses, such as holiday gift giving, from being a total surprise and catching us off guard.
Yeah, absolutely. So where can our listeners go for more information and financial tips?
Sure. So I shared some information today about Cash App, which they can find online or in the App Store. And the other tool that I always like to mention with those big unexpected expenses is, for so long, the go-to default for unexpected expenses has been putting it on a credit card, but Afterpay helps you to take an unplanned expense and pay for it in monthly installments over time without having to pay those high interest rates that credit cards are so notorious for. And they can find that at Afterpay online or in their app store as well.
Nice. Okay. So Afterpay, buy now, pay later. You can find out more about that by downloading the Afterpay app or looking for Afterpay online. And if you want to find out more about Cash App, again, the Cash App is in your app store, or you can go to the website cash.app. That's cash.app. And we've been speaking today with Lindsay Brian Podvin, financial therapist at Cash App. And Lindsay, I really appreciate you being here. You've shared some great advice, some tools and strategies we can use with the kids, no matter how old they are, the young ones, the teens, the middle schoolers, and a lot of great information that you've shared as well. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it was total pleasure. Thanks so much, Heather.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Enrollment is open for fall classes at the College of Southern Nevada, or CSN, and the fall session is starting this Monday, August 25th, with a mix of online and in-person classes in close to 200 different programs, including certificates, diplomas, associate and bachelor's degrees. Find out more, see the program offerings, or apply to be a student at csn.edu. That's csn.edu. United Way of Southern Nevada and NV Energy are hosting the annual Project Reach Senior Expos to help seniors 62 and older who are struggling with overdue utility bills. The final two expos take place this week on August 26th and 28th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall. Each event brings together utility providers, community organizations, and volunteers to provide on-site assistance for seniors in need. Find out more at uwsn.org. That stands for United Way of Southern Nevada, uwsn.org. The Las Vegas Rescue Mission is holding their annual bottled water drive through August 31st. When the summer's hot, vulnerable community members experiencing homelessness need water more than ever. You can drop off bottled water donations at the Las Vegas Rescue Mission security gate 24/7. Find out more at vegasrescue.org. That's vegasrescue.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, September 8th at 8 p.m. benefiting Conquer Paralysis Now, and Monday, September 22nd at 8 p.m. benefiting Kinsella Angels. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Collaboration Center Foundation is hosting their first Collab Cella Music Festival on Saturday, September 13th from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center campus, 8390 West Windmill Lane. Get your tickets or find out more at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. Shoes for Scholars is hosting their Smarts and Strides 5K Run and Walk on Saturday, September 20th, with registration at 7 a.m. and run and walk at 8 a.m. at Town Square. Find out more or sign up at shoesforscholars.org. That's shoesforscholars.org. And the All Life Pregnancy Clinic is holding their 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K Run and 1 Mile Walk on Saturday, October 11th from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway. Get all the details and sign up to race or walk at alllife.org. That's A-L-L-Y-F-E.org, alllife.org.